Welcome to the Depth Dive, where we cut through the chatter to bring you the essential insights you need fast. Today, we're plunging into a topic that, well, it feels deceptively simple: business communication. Okay, let's unpack this. Because for all the talk about soft skills, this is arguably one of the hardest, most mission-critical skills in any professional's toolkit. We've all seen it, right? The brilliant idea that just dies because it couldn't be clearly explained. Or, you know, the critical project derailed by endless misinterpretations, teams that just can't seem to get on the same page. Our sources reveal that while, yeah, many people think they've mastered communication just by talking, the surprising truth, truly effective business communication isn't really about fancy jargon or like performative presentations. It's about something far more strategic. Precision, empathy, and the often overlooked art of reducing the cognitive load for your audience. So our mission today is to quickly equip you with not just the what, but the why and the how to transform everyday interactions into powerful exchanges that actually drive results. We're aiming to arm you with the tools to sort of diagnose why messages fail and how to fix them.
Yeah, it's easy to just dismiss business communication as, you know, basic, something you just do. But what's fascinating here is its profound impact. Think of it like the nervous system of an organization. Without a really effective one, even the strongest body will falter. It's the invisible force connecting strategy to execution, turning abstract ideas into actionable tasks, and, well, bringing individuals together into a cohesive, high-performing team. At its core, business communication is simply the deliberate exchange of information to achieve specific organizational goals. Mastering it. That's the difference between a project soaring or, you know, grinding to a chaotic, costly halt. And understanding this is key to avoiding wasted time, resources, energy. Because businesses are complex machines, right? If even one message gets misfired, the whole system can jam up.
Okay, so to really diagnose those misfires, we probably need a framework. Let's talk about the communication process model. And we're not diving into boring theory here, promise. Think of this model more like a diagnostic map. Understanding each stage, that's how you troubleshoot exactly where messages break down in the real world. It highlights the essential bits. The sender, the receiver, the message itself, the channel, feedback, and that troublemaker noise.
Precisely. Let's start with the sender. This isn't just the person talking or writing. It's the individual responsible for encoding the message. That means taking an idea, a thought, an instruction, and shaping it into words or symbols or gestures that someone else can understand. The challenge isn't just having the thought, it's the clarity in translating it. Like, imagine a project manager trying to explain a complex software update. If they're using all this internal coding jargon that the marketing team has no clue about, well, the encoding has failed. Doesn't matter how brilliant the update is.
Right, the translation failed.
Exactly. Then you've got the message. And this isn't just the content, it's the core information being sent. Ideas, instructions, requests, maybe even emotional context. A critical insight here is that a really effective message anticipates what the receiver needs. So if you send this super detailed financial report to an executive who honestly just needs the three key takeaways, you've created a messaging burden, not a clear message.
Mm-hmm. Overload.
Yeah. The message has to be precise, concise, and appropriate for the audience and the purpose.
Okay, what about the channel?
The channel. This is where so many messages get unwittingly sabotaged. It's the medium you choose, right? Email, phone call, video conference, face-to-face. Choosing the channel is paramount because it dictates the richness of the communication. Like announcing a major company strategy shift in a quick toast email instead of an all-hands video call with Q&A.
Oof, bad move.
Terrible move. It shows a fundamental misunderstanding of channel appropriateness. The channel has to match the message's complexity, its sensitivity, how urgent it is.
Makes sense. And the receiver.
Right. The receiver. Your audience. They aren't passive sponges. They are active participants. They decode the message, interpreting it through their own filters, their experience, biases, emotions, distractions, all that stuff. The common mistake is thinking, well, I sent it, so they got it. But if your message doesn't land, the responsibility is actually on the sender to re-encode, resend it in a way that resonates. Think about a new employee, totally overloaded with information, getting complex instructions. Their ability to decode is hampered by that cognitive load, not because they aren't smart.
So it's not their fault if they don't get it immediately.
Often, no. Then there's feedback. This is the bit that's often neglected, but it completes the loop. It's that return signal confirming the message was received and understood as you intended. Without it, you're basically just shouting into the void.
Like talking to a wall.
Exactly. And it's not just about asking, does that make sense? It's about building a culture where checking understanding is just standard practice.
Yeah.
If you've just outlined a new sales strategy, The critical feedback isn't just a nod. It's maybe a recap or a question that shows they really got it.
Okay, last one. Noise.
Ah, noise. The arch nemesis of good communication. This is anything that interferes with the message getting through clearly. It can be literal noise, like a jackhammer outside the window during a meeting.
You in there?
We all have. Or it can be psychological noise, like an employee worrying about job security, which makes it hard for them to hear constructive feedback fairly. Even overloaded inboxes, unclear meeting agendas, or a manager's inconsistent tone. That's all noise, silently corrupting communication.
Wow. Okay, so if we pull all these elements together and look at a real-world scenario, that's what gets really interesting. Let's use that hypothetical example. You're leading a team trying to launch a critical new product feature. You, the sender, need to explain complex tech specs to both the marketing team and the sales team. Your message has to be clear, precise, tailored. You decide, okay, detailed email announcement, then live Q&A sessions. Sounds reasonable, right?
Seems okay on the surface.
But here's where it often goes wrong. The marketing team, your receiver, they're swamped with other campaigns. That's noise, right?
Mm-hmm. Psychological noise, competing priorities.
So they just scan the email, miss key details. Meanwhile, the sales team, another receiver, they need to know the customer benefits, not the back-end code. But maybe your message, the encoding, focused too much on the technical specs.
Common mistake. Tailoring is key.
And you, the sender, didn't build in a strong feedback loop beyond just asking any questions at the end of the Q&A. So confusion just festers. Marketing creates a campaign that's slightly off target. Sales can't pitch it effectively. And the product feature launch, despite being brilliant, it underperforms.
And that's where understanding these components becomes a powerful diagnostic tool, you can ask.
Yeah.
Was the encoding too technical for marketing? Was the channel that long email really right for the complexity? Maybe a concise summary plus a targeted meeting would have been better.
Right.
Was the feedback loop strong enough? Often, it's not just one thing, but a cascade of little breakdowns across these different elements.
Okay, that model really helps pinpoint the issues. Now that we've mapped out the anatomy, let's talk about the common problems, the ailments that plague business interactions. These aren't just annoyances. They're often the root cause of project delays, missed opportunities, all that bad stuff. So let's dive into the most common pitfalls and, more importantly, how you can overcome them.
Good idea. One of the most insidious ones, I think, is what I call the assumption gap. This is basically believing that because you understand something perfectly, everyone else must too, automatically. Like a CEO saying, okay, team, we need to optimize our outreach. And just assuming every department knows exactly what steps that involves for them.
Yeah, optimize can mean a dozen different things.
Exactly. The fix here is to proactively bridge that gap. Use clarifying questions. Be explicit. You could say, just to confirm, when I say optimize outreach for our department, I mean specifically reducing cost per acquisition by A/B testing ad copy. Does that align with your understanding?
So getting really specific, it's not being basic, it's ensuring everyone's on the same page.
It's advanced, ensuring shared mental models. Another big one, the jargon trap. We all do it sometimes, right? Using industry-specific terms to sound like we know our stuff. But often it just becomes a barrier. Phrases like synergistic cross-functional ideation, I mean, come on, they don't sound impressive. They sound exclusionary and vague.
Right, like alphabet soup.
Pretty much. To counteract this, always translate.
Yeah.
Before you drop a piece of jargon, ask yourself, will everyone hearing this get it instantly, or do I need to rephrase? It's about being effective, not just showing off your vocabulary, to say collaborative brainstorming or working together on ideas.
Simple is usually better. What's next?
A very frequent misstep is channel mismatch. This happens when the medium you choose just doesn't fit the message. Sending an email with really critical, maybe sensitive feedback, instead of having a face-to-face conversation, that's a classic example.
Yeah, you lose all the tone, the empathy.
Exactly. And you can't gauge their real-time reaction. The solution is to think strategically about the channel's richness. For complex stuff or emotionally charged discussions, you need channels that allow for immediate feedback and those nonverbal cues. Sometimes, honestly, a quick phone call beats a long email chain any day.
Good point.
We also see the pitfall of insufficient feedback loops. Communication is supposed to be two-way, but we often treat it like a one-way broadcast. A manager sends out new policy updates via email, assumes everyone understands perfectly, and then wonders why compliance is patchy later on.
Because nobody confirmed they actually got it or understood it?
Precisely. To overcome this, you need to build in explicit feedback mechanisms. Maybe it's a quick poll after a virtual meeting, or just a follow-up question like, could you quickly paraphrase what you see is the key takeaway here? It's about making validation standard, not an afterthought.
Okay, what else trips people up?
Then there's the subtle but really destructive pitfall of passive listening. This isn't just about hearing the words someone says. It's about genuinely processing and understanding their intent. We're often just waiting for our turn to speak, right? Not truly listening. And that leads to misinterpretations, missed opportunities.
Syndrome, maybe.
Yeah.
You nod along, then realize you absorbed nothing.
Exactly. The antidote is active listening. Maintain eye contact, minimize distractions, put the phone away, and practice reflective listening, where you paraphrase. Okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, your main concern is a tight timeline for Project X.
Confirms you heard and understood.
Right. And finally, a big one in today's world. Information overload. In an attempt to be thorough, we sometimes just bury our audience in data. We make it impossible for them to pull out the key messages. Think of a 50-slide presentation where really only 3 points are critical. That's information overload.
Guilty as charged sometimes.
We all are. The fix is ruthless simplification. Prioritize. Ask yourself, what's the absolute minimum my audience needs to know right now? Can you boil it down to 3 bullet points? Can you lead with a conclusion? It shows respect for their time and their brain power.
Yeah.
Bite-sized is better than buffet-sized.
Okay, those pitfalls are definitely the potholes on the communication road. But let's shift gears and talk about the super skills, the core competencies that turn you from just a communicator into, like, a communication superhero. Think of these as your essential toolkit, right? The flour, eggs, milk, sugar. You just can't bake the communication cake without.
Precisely. First up, clarity. And this isn't just about using simple words, though that helps. It's about precision in your language, making sure there's absolutely zero room for misinterpretation. Instead of saying, let's align on next steps, which is super vague, a clear statement is, let's schedule a 15-minute call this afternoon to finalize the presentation agenda. Does 3 p.m. work?
Specific and actionable.
Exactly. To master clarity, you have to scrutinize every word. Ask, is this the most direct, unambiguous way to say this? And critically, could this possibly be misinterpreted? Because, you know, if it can be, it probably will be.
Get a rule of thumb. Okay, next competency.
Active listening. We touched on this with pitfalls, but as a core skill, it goes way beyond just hearing. It's about genuine engagement with the speaker's entire message, verbal and nonverbal. If a team member is explaining a complex problem and you're just nodding but mentally drafting your email reply, you're not actively listening.
You're just waiting to talk.
Right. Mastery involves techniques like asking open-ended questions. Tell me more about that. Summarizing what you heard, paying attention to their tone, their body language. It's really seeking to understand before you try to be understood.
Crucial. What follows that?
Another really crucial one is empathy. This is the ability to understand and, importantly, share the feelings of another person, even if you don't necessarily agree with their point. When you're delivering tough feedback, for example, acknowledging the other person's potential reaction, maybe frustration or defensiveness, like saying, look, I understand this feedback might be difficult to hear. That simple acknowledgement can pave the way for a much more receptive response.
So it's feeling with them professionally.
Professionally, exactly. To cultivate empathy, practice perspective taking. Before you communicate, think. How might this person feel receiving this? What are their concerns, their priorities right now? Validating their perspective, even briefly, builds huge bridges.
Okay, empathy.
Yeah.
Makes sense. What else is in the toolkit?
Then there are feedback skills. Giving and receiving constructive criticism effectively. This is an art form. It's about moving beyond vague complaints like, your report was confusing, to giving actionable insights. Something like, hey, on page 3, the data visualization might be clearer if we used a bar chart here instead of the pie chart, just to show the trend better.
Specific and helpful, not just critical.
Right. Mastery requires being specific, timely, and focusing on the behavior or the work, not attacking the person's character. And just as important is the skill of receiving feedback, seeing it as useful data for improvement, not a personal hit job.
That takes practice, too.
Oh, absolutely. Next up, adaptability. This is about being a communication chameleon. It means adjusting your message, your tone, your channel, based on your audience, the context, the purpose of the message. Explaining a new AI integration to the engineering team. That's going to sound vastly different than explaining the benefits of that same integration to the sales team or the board of directors.
Right. Different needs, different language.
Totally.
Yeah.
To master this, you need sharp audience awareness. Ask yourself, who am I talking to? What do they already know? What do they need to know? What's their preferred communication style, details, or big picture?
Be the chameleon. I like that.
Then, conciseness. This is all about respecting your audience's time and attention span, which are increasingly scarce resources. It's the ability to convey the maximum amount of necessary information with the minimum number of words. Instead of a multi-paragraph email just to confirm a meeting time, a concise message is simply, confirming our meeting. Monday, 10 a.m., conference room B, agenda attached. See you then.
Short, sweet, effective, gets the job done.
Exactly. Achieve conciseness by ruthlessly stripping away anything extra. Every single word has to earn its place. Use bullet points. Summarize key takeaways up front. And know when to stop typing and just pick up the phone if more detail is needed.
Okay, concise. What else?
Nonverbal awareness. This stuff often speaks much louder than your actual words. We're talking body language, facial expressions, tone of voice, even how you dress for a meeting. If your words are saying, I'm confident, but your posture is slumped, you're avoiding eye contact and your voice is wavering, well, your nonverbal cues are totally undermining your message.
Your body is betraying your words.
Pretty much. Mastery means consciously aligning your nonverbal communication with your verbal message. Practice open body language, uncrossed arms, facing the person. Maintain appropriate eye contact. Be mindful of your tone. Is it matching the message? And just as importantly, learn to read these cues in others. They can tell you a lot about how your message is really landing.
That's a big one. Okay, last core competency.
Finally, confidence. Now, this isn't about being arrogant or loud. It's about presenting your ideas with conviction and belief. When you speak confidently, your message inherently gains more credibility. People are more likely to trust and follow someone who sounds sure of what they're saying. Even if you're feeling a little unsure, internally fake it till you make it. Professionally speaking, projecting outward confidence can significantly impact how your message is received.
How do you cultivate that?
Practice using assertive language. Say, I will, instead of, I might try.
Mm-hmm.
Minimize those qualifiers, like sort of, maybe, yeah. Yes. Maintain good posture, stand tall, use a steady gaze, not staring intensely, but connecting, and keep your voice clear and modulated. It's about owning your message.
Okay, that's a powerful toolkit. Clarity, listening, empathy, feedback, adaptability, conciseness, nonverbal awareness, and confidence. Got it. Now, as we build this really comprehensive picture of communication, we absolutely cannot ignore the ethical side of things and professional conduct. These aren't just like optional extras you sprinkle on top. They're the bedrock, the foundation upon which all trust and credibility are built. They're your trusty sidekicks, really distinguishing genuine impact from just hot air.
Absolutely spot on. When we talk about ethics in communication, we're talking about the fundamental principles: honesty, integrity, respect. These have to guide every single interaction. Think of it as the golden rule, but applied specifically to every email you send, every conversation you have, every presentation you give.
So what does that look like in practice?
Well, first there's honesty. Being truthful, even when it's awkward or difficult. Admitting that a project is running behind schedule up front instead of trying to hide it or make excuses. That builds way more trust in the long run, even if the news isn't great. It's the absolute foundation of credibility.
Owning the reality.
Yes. Then there's confidentiality. This is paramount, especially today. It means safeguarding sensitive information rigorously, whether it's employee data, company financial projections, maybe intellectual property. You have to protect it as if it were your own personal bank details. Careless sharing, even unintentional, can have really severe consequences.
Treat it like gold.
Or diamonds. Next, respect. This is non-negotiable. Treating every single individual you communicate with dignity and consideration, regardless of their role, their perspective, whether you agree with them or not. This means actively avoiding things like sarcasm, dismissive tones, passive-aggressive language, and please, the dreaded all-caps emails.
Guilty of maybe receiving a few of those?
Huh. Yeah, it's about fostering an environment where everyone feels heard and valued, not attacked or belittled.
Okay. Honesty, confidentiality, respect. Mm. Anything else under ethics?
And finally, responsibility. This means owning your words and, crucially, their impact. If you share incorrect information, or if your communication leads to a significant misunderstanding, you need to take accountability, quickly and sincerely. Rectifying errors promptly is essential for maintaining trust.
So own your mistakes, too.
Absolutely. Now, moving slightly to professionalism, this is more about how you present yourself and your ideas. It conveys competence, reliability. It's the polish on your message, your professional brand, if you will.
How does that manifest?
Well, it starts with that clarity and precision we talked about earlier, but applied to your overall output. Your communication should always be unambiguous, well-organized, and free of sloppiness like typos or grammatical errors. No mysteries, no guessing games, just clear, direct conveyance of information.
Attention to detail matters.
Hugely. Also, punctuality and reliability. These are like professional currency. If you commit to sending that report by noon, it really needs to be in their inbox by 11.55 a.m. Being consistently reliable in your communication commitments builds immense confidence in your abilities and just your word in general.
Do what you say you're going to do.
Simple, but powerful. Tone and courtesy also matter immensely in professionalism. Choosing thoughtful language, using polite greetings and closings, knowing when and how to inject appropriate humor. All these things can dramatically influence how your message and you are perceived. It's really about emotional intelligence in action.
Reading the room, even digitally.
Exactly. And critically, especially now. Cultural sensitivity. In our interconnected global business world, communication must be inclusive and mindful of diverse cultural norms. This means consciously avoiding language, imagery, or even assumptions that could inadvertently offend or alienate people from different backgrounds. It's not just about being polite. It's just smart business practice. You want to connect, not disconnect.
Absolutely crucial. Okay, so there you have it. We've taken a really deep dive into business communication today. We've gone way beyond just surface level stuff to explore its core mechanics, how to diagnose those common pitfalls, how to cultivate the essential competencies, and anchoring it all with those vital principles of ethics and professionalism. We even looked at how understanding all of these layers could be the difference between, say, a product feature launch that totally flounders and one that really soars. The bottom line here, I think, is this. Effective business communication isn't just a nice-to-have skill, it's a strategic imperative. It's mission-critical. And mastering this, it isn't just about becoming a better talker, it's about becoming a more impactful, more influential professional. Honestly, it makes your whole professional life not just easier, but infinitely more successful.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, what's truly empowering, I find, is realizing that exceptional communicators, they aren't necessarily born with some magic talent. They're usually just individuals who have deliberately worked on and honed these skills. They pay meticulous attention to every single detail of the message's journey from their brain to the receiver's understanding. By consciously embracing clarity, active listening, empathy, effective feedback, adaptability, conciseness, nonverbal awareness, confidence, ethics, and professionalism, you are not just exchanging information anymore. You're building trust. You're fostering collaboration. You are, quite literally, moving mountains, or at the very least, moving complex projects forward.
That's a great way to put it.
So as you reflect on everything we've unpacked today, maybe ask yourself, what stands out to why you is the single most impactful change you can make to your communication approach starting today? What's the one lever you can pull right now that will likely have the biggest positive ripple effect in your professional interactions? Think about that. Because once you start consciously applying these principles, congratulations, you're now officially equipped to be one of those great communicators.